Those who are recovering from our services. Reminds me of a line in the prayer that's often heard, Lord, be with those who are sick of this congregation. My wife asks me every once in a while, I'm scheduled to preach, if I'm able to do so, and I tell her it's not my voice that's the problem, it's my back. Appreciate being here this morning. Glad to see everyone here. The scripture reading this morning is posted on the board from the 13th chapter of John, beginning at verse 21 and continuing through verse 30. When Jesus had said this, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoning to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things that we need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out. And it was night. Well, you will no doubt recall that the event just described in this reading occurred during the time that Jesus spent with his apostles on the night that he was betrayed. They were together in the upper room during the time that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, of which we just partook. And shortly after that, he and the disciples went into the Garden of Gethsemane. We are told in this chapter that Satan had entered into the heart of Judas to betray Jesus. Jesus then dropped what might be considered a bombshell on the apostles when he announced that one of them would betray him. And the disciples, of course, were trying to determine which one of them would betray him. And privately, Jesus mentioned to the one leaning on him that it was Judas Iscariot. But there are two phrases that I'm really concerned with this morning that are found in verse 30 of our text. The first phrase says of Judas, he went out. The second phrase says simply, and it was night. I want us to take a look at what I believe to be an impact of those two phrases. He went out, speaking of Judas. I believe that phrase is full of meaning beyond the fact that it described the fact that Judas left Jesus and the other apostles and simply went out to do what he was going to do. When you think about it, Sin always casts the sinner out. And if you don't believe that, there are many examples in the scriptures themselves that teach that fact. Sin always casts the sinner out. Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and what? They were cast out. Jacob sinned and lied against his brother Esau, and his father's sightless eyes, and went out to rest his head upon a stone which he called Bethel. But a few years later, that deceit would come back on him, as he was deceived himself by his father-in-law Laban in regard to his two wives, Leah and Rachel. He thought he was going to marry Rachel. And lo and behold, when he lifted the veil, it was Leah. Surprise! And then he had to work 7 more years to get Rachel. His sin had found him out. And then something that Rick had mentioned the other night, the other day in one of his sermons about Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, found in 2 Kings chapter 5. Remember that story after Naaman had been healed and Elisha had refused the gifts that Naaman had brought along. Gehazi went after him. 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning at verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments." And Naaman said, "Be content, take 2 talents." And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in his house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went nowhere." He said unto him, "Were not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money or to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take maid servants." And what happened to Gehazi? He got the leprosy that was on Naaman. He was cast out. He lied. He deceived. I think of the nation of Israel. God had promised them that if they would love and serve him and keep his commandments, that they could dwell in that land flowing with milk and honey. But they didn't. And they suffered 70 years of Babylonian captivity because of it. The prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 25 speaks to this very thing. "Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation. Behold, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Why? Because they sinned against God. They forsook God. They worshiped idols. They defaced his temple. They engaged in all kinds of immoral and idolatrous practices. And for what? 70 long years of captivity. They went out. We come to the New Testament. That beautiful story of the prodigal son. We're familiar with that. Story that Jesus told, a parable that Jesus told. The man that had two sons. The younger son asked the father for his part of the inheritance, which the father gave him, which he didn't really have to, but he did. The son took that inheritance, ran away from home, spent that inheritance in sinful ways, and wound up tending hogs in a hog pen. He sinned and he went out. He went out from a loving father to keep pigs. Now we know that story has a happy ending, don't we? You know, the Lord not only told the disciples that Judas would betray him, but he told one of his disciples, Peter, that you're going to betray me three times. And when Jesus was arrested and put on trial, Peter followed him afar off. And in Matthew's account of this incident, we were told, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Something interesting about that phrase in verse 73 there. Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. You ever wondered what that means? Well, the Jews in Judea and the Jews in Galilee spoke a different language. It would be like somebody here from Alabama or Tennessee or Georgia coming up here and saying, hi, y'all. And we know they're not from the north. Their speech betrays them. Peter's speech got him in trouble. And he went out. And he wept bitterly. We know that story had a better ending. But we come to Judas, and he betrayed the Lord and went out to a suicide's death in infamy. In Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 3, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. In other words, we don't care. Do with it what you want. But the next verse is the sad verse. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Who is to say that betrayal is worse than denial, or that denial is worse than betrayal? But the two endings of those two men were entirely different. Peter went out and wept bitterly, but Peter truly repented and became one of the leading pillars in the church in Jerusalem. The other one says that he repented himself, but he went out and hanged himself. He went out. In Acts chapter 5, we have the story of a Christian couple, Ananias and Sapphira. They had sold their land and brought part of the money to the apostles, indicating that it was all that they had gotten from the sale of their property. And Peter looked upon Ananias and said, you've lied to God, to the Holy Spirit. And immediately Ananias fell dead. His wife came in a few hours later, said the same thing, and they had to pick her up dead. They lied. They went out. Paid a horrible price. You know, on and on, the record repeats the same old tale. Out, out, out. Always out. As far as sin is concerned. And today is no different. Sin enters into people's hearts and they go out. Perhaps out from the homes of father and mother. Out from the love of wife and child. Out from the sacred fellowship of the church. Out from Bible school. Out from the study of God's word. Out from hope and salvation. And finally, when sin is done with the sinner, it'll cast him out into eternal darkness and remorse. You know, when sin is permitted to have dominion over us, our epitaph has already been written. And he went out. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. But we don't have to be eternally cast out. We just commemorated the death of our Lord by surrounding his table this morning and partaking of the emblems that he had left for us. Why do we do that? We remember what he did for us. We remember why he did it. There's nothing we could do to remit our own sins. I could not die for my sins, much less die for yours. It took a perfect, sinless sacrifice. As we sang a moment ago, 950, that Zach led us in, the Lamb of God, that's what it took for us to be released from sin so that we never have to go out. And if you're here this morning or under the sound of my voice and you're not a Christian, that doesn't have to be your epitaph. That you went out. There's mercy and grace and hope in Jesus Christ. That's why he died, so that we don't have to go out. Then we come to this second phrase, and it was night. There's a line in a song that we sing sometimes, oh, what a night was that which wrapped the heathen world in gloom. What a commentary this phrase is, upon the situation confronting the Lord and his disciples before his crucifixion. It's not just talking about the fact that it was dark, but there was a darkness that was coming upon the entire human race. The traitor was on his way to the high priest within the hour. Plans would be made for the soldiers to take Jesus. The Sanhedrin switched their strategy and would stage a formal trial. Totally illegal, but a formal trial nonetheless. Doubtless, presuming upon what they hoped would be effective testimony from Judas. But we know what happened to Judas, don't we? He committed suicide before he could testify. The shepherd, as Jesus said, would be smitten and the sheep scattered. Suborned witnesses spin the lies in exchange, no doubt, for temple gold. Caiaphas, the high priest, who had already determined to kill Jesus, would pretend to be shocked and rend his priestly garments, contrary to the law, and for an hour the wicked hypocrites would prevail. Even the strong-willed Peter, under questioning of a girl, would deny three times that he even knew Jesus. How dark can it get? The Sanhedrin would get their wish and convince Pilate to have Jesus, the light of the world, crucified. But instead, some 40 years later, the light of the city of Jerusalem would cast into a night of darkness, the likes of which the world would never see. And Jesus had foretold that in Matthew chapter 24. Yeah, it was really night. And on the cross, from 12 noon to 3 p.m., there was darkness. As if God would hide the world from what was happening. That was the darkest night that the world had ever seen or ever will see. But again, what a night was that which wrapped the heathen world in gloom. Oh, what a sun rose this day triumphant from the tomb. That's why we're here this morning. There is light instead of darkness. Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. And to us he said, you are a light. You are a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. We sing the song with the children, VBS. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine. If we don't shine, nobody will. If we are not the light, nobody else will be. Several years ago, I heard one of our gospel quartets sing a song. And I just want to share with you just a few lines from that song about sin. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. The Lord Jesus himself said, for what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? A lot of people have given a lot for their souls.
And I hope we're not in that group.
Sin has always been connected with darkness and night. And as long as a person remains under the bondage of sin, then your soul or your spirit is in darkness.
And if it stays that way, good people, then one day it will be cast out into eternal darkness, away from God and His people forever. You know, I don't think that's what anybody here this morning wants. I would find it hard to believe if anyone did. And by His death on the cross, Jesus makes it possible for our sins to be forgiven. For us not to walk in darkness, but to walk in the light as He is in the light. That we have fellowship with God and with His Son. That we have fellowship with each other in the family of God. If there is a little foretaste of heaven on earth, it's here in the body of Christ. If we just have a taste of what heaven will be like, I think it's here in the body of Christ. And I, for one, don't want to miss that. And I hope you don't either. I may be preaching to the choir this morning. Most of you, maybe all of you, who are of the age of accountability have already made that decision. But if not, then there's not a better time to make that decision than right now. Do you want to walk in darkness, or do you want to walk in the light? Sin will always cast you out. But if we take advantage of the blood of Christ and our sins are forgiven, then we can walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. And we have fellowship with God and with each other. If you've not obeyed the gospel, why not do that this morning? Or if you're a child of God, and maybe you have wandered away from the light, why not come back before it's too late? The choice is yours, but your decision has eternal consequences, one way or the other. As we sing the words of this song, why not come if you need to make some things right? While together we stand and sing.
I have decided to